A new window opens into our mysterious economy. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Later today, the Fed releases the minutes from its latest meeting. That will give us a little more detailed look into the central bank's thinking about how the economy is doing and where we might be going. Let's talk about that with Susan Schmidt, Senior VP and Portfolio Manager at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning.
So what are you watching for in these meeting minutes? What do you think we might learn from that?
Today's minutes are very important because they're the last communication we're going to get directly from the Fed before September. There's speculation that there's a rate hike coming in September, November, possibly December. So another rate hike later on in 2016. And people are looking to see the cues from the Fed. How are they feeling about the economy? We've had very strong employment. The Fed probably will comment on that somewhere in the minutes. They'll also talk about where we are in terms of inflation versus their targets. And we might get some color on their concerns over external forces, and that would be international economies, what's going on in Europe, what's going on in Japan, and how that's impacting us here.
And how is that playing out here, just in terms of where America's economy is and also where the stock market is in terms of some of the record highs that we've seen as of late?
The U.S. stock market continues to be one of the best places for investment. People are very concerned over the economic outlook for Europe. No one's sure what's going on in the U.K. with Brexit. People are concerned about monetary policy and what's happening in Japan, and there are concerns about slowdowns in China. You get herded back into the U.S. stock market as a place where companies are operating profitably. You have confidence in the accounting. You feel comfortable that managements have just come out with their second quarter earnings releases, talking about their future in optimism that things are going along all right. At least it's positive.
Okay, Susan Schmidt at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Walmart reports second quarter earnings tomorrow morning. Its last report had some better than expected numbers at its brick and mortar stores, but the retail giant is having less success building its online business. Plus, recent moves to raise worker pay are good for employees, but they also mean the company has to make more money elsewhere. Marketplace's Annie Baxter looks at some of the challenges Walmart faces.
Walmart has invested a lot in labor over the past couple of years. It improved training so shelves stay stocked and stores clean, and it boosted workers' minimum wage to $10 an hour from $9. Edward Jones analyst Brian Yarbrough says those efforts should pay off eventually, but haven't provided a big boost yet.
You know, same-store sales are around 1%, and that's kind of where they were before they made this big investment.
Meanwhile, Yarbrough says Walmart is losing market share in some key areas, like online.
Think back to last quarter, their online sales grew less than 10%. The industry's growing closer to 15%, and Amazon's growing closer to 25%.
Retail analyst Neil Saunders at Conlumino says consumers are increasingly buying staples like laundry detergent from online competitors.
Few of them now are going into Walmart.
Walmart recently announced plans to acquire Jet.com. That's a fast-growing e-commerce company. Saunders says that's another good investment that will take time to yield fruit. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
A new Vice documentary out this week looks at a growing trend of cities and counties increasingly writing tickets for so-called quality of life offenses, from minor traffic violations to even backyard barbecues. Some of those who can't pay the fines face jail time, which has communities saying governments are effectively criminalizing poverty. The documentary is called Justice, Debtors, Prisons, and James Burns is the director. James, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
What is actually going on? What have you found here in terms of the way the fines and jail and the courts are all involved in this situation?
Yeah, so I traveled to St. Louis County, where there are 90 municipalities. These municipalities are essentially generating revenue from their citizens by fining them, by citations. They're giving them exorbitant fees that they're not able to pay, and therefore they end up going to jail because they can't afford to pay those fines.
And so how does it work? I mean, explain how you go from getting a ticket, getting some kind of a fine, to court and facing the threat of jail time.
If you're maybe caught speeding, or maybe you ran a stop sign or something, you get pulled over, you get issued a ticket, you know, you'll go to court to pay that ticket. And if you can't pay, you're then threatened with jail. And if you don't show up in the next court appearance with some money, then they'll arrest you and take you away for not being able to afford your ticket. That could be a monumental problem for a poor person who can't afford to pay that. When they walk into the court and they can't pay and they end up going to jail, you're essentially criminalizing poverty.
This process, what kind of impact is that having in these communities, many of which are low-income communities?
it's devastating for the most vulnerable people in our society who can't afford to pay these tickets because they're losing their houses, their jobs, and they're losing faith in our government, in our system. And that creates a whole other web of social issues, I think.
For the documentary, you were in touch. You reached out to some of the municipalities that are on the other side of this. How do they explain what's going on?
Well, I talked to a municipal court judge, Michael Gunn, and, you know, he says that he makes an inquiry to see whether that defendants could pay their fines or not. Studies have shown that often that does not happen and therefore results in somebody losing their liberty. You know, in the past 5 years, we've talked a lot about criminal justice reform, and this is certainly something that needs to be looked at further.
Okay, James Burns, director of the Vice documentary Justice, Debtors, Prisons. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And finally, if you would rather be reading or sleeping or just doing something other than driving to work at the moment, Ford has your needs in mind. Yesterday, the company promised a fully autonomous vehicle on the road within 5 years, as in a car with no steering wheel, no pedals. It'll start as one used by ride-hailing services before being rolled out to sell to regular folks. Ford is using a different approach here than Mercedes-Benz and Tesla, which generally favor cars that have steering wheels so human drivers can choose to take control. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.